Time for Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Werpman. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com, and she is also author of Simon Loses His Tummy and her latest book, Before Her Voice Was Still. Ladies and gentlemen, here she is, Judy Werpman.
Well, good morning to both of you. And I must say, it was a very compelling piece you just did about not trying to swim across the waterfall.
The production values, you know, it's a really beautiful. The person who made it should definitely go to places and do these vignettes because it's very inviting. It really is.
I hope I have a chance to see it. Anyway, Jill,
talking of stress. Speaking of stress.
We're talking about stress and. One of the things that comes up that may be affected by stress and something that people have to guard against is smoking. Something we really haven't talked about the types of interventions people use for themselves to calm them down. And you know, we've talked about eating and exercise, having a pet, which really does. I think a lot to calm us, distractions. But I'd just like to talk about smoking for a minute and then go back to some of the other interventions. Because smoking is something that has been used for hundreds and hundreds of years to decrease stress. I mean, nicotine has been known to calm people down, to decrease their anxiety. In fact, many years, hospitals that treated psychiatric patients allowed their patients to smoke, even though hospitals treating people with physical diseases did not allow smoking, for the reason that when you smoked, if you were suffering from some kind of mental disorder, it really did help you. You know, schizophrenics, people with anxiety disorder, etc., were all allowed to smoke in a hospital setting because it was felt that making them withdraw from nicotine might have impacts on the severity of their disease. So here we have a situation where people are home. There's nobody saying to them, don't smoke if they're living alone. They're certainly not in a workplace where they have to go outside to smoke. They can smoke whenever they want, unless, you know, somebody else in the household is trying to prevent them from doing so. And therefore, they really can decrease stress. But this is not a recommendation for smoking. The reason that I just want to mention is that if people are inclined to finally say, well, you know, it's the virus, who knows if I'm going to live or die, I might as well smoke anyway, it's certainly going to make me feel better today, and I'm not really, don't really care about the long-term consequences because who knows if I'll be able to live to suffer the long-term consequences. People should really be aware of the fact that when they smoke, they run the risk of damaging their lungs, and there are now studies showing that if you look at the admission to emergency rooms and intensive care units and the use of ventilators and other types of support systems for people with a COVID virus, that if you are a smoker, the chances of you having a much more severe outcome to your being infected with the virus is significantly greater than if you're a non-smoker. So if you're a smoker and you do get the virus, then you may be much more likely to be put on a ventilator, for example. So I just thought I wanted to get that out of the way to say that do not look for an easy fix by reaching for a cigarette because you may not be able to be fixed at all.
And the other complication is that stress in and of itself predisposes people's immune systems to weakness.
Oh, absolutely. But the thing is, how can we keep ourselves from being stressed? And one, I think there's certainly some very simple solutions that we have to be willing to engage in. One is humor. I think when people get together, instead of reciting to each other the statistics about did you know how many people died today, and did you hear about so-and-so who was in the hospital for 4 weeks, wouldn't it be better if we just sat down and told jokes to each other? You know, I know people send funny things to email. I must get something in my inbox like every other day. But I think that humor does a long way to dispel the kind of sort of numbing stress that comes over you when you feel there's no exit. It just breaks the tension. Even the physical act of laughing helps relax your body. And so I think, you know, we all should make a point of telling stupid jokes to each other, but it's enough to really get you to relax.
Or if you are, you know, if you are completely unscreened, which many individuals are, watch really funny old movies. I was talking to someone who was she was watching TMZ last night, and first was Auntie Mame, and then was Meet Me in St. Louis, or St.
Right.
Louis, depending. And if you stayed up late enough, you could see The Man Who Came to Dinner. Now, all of these are old movies, but all of them have something in common, and that is that they are very entertaining and
distracting, and
you laugh. And it's just, I am struck how poorly people do, by and large, with what is known as self-care. I mean, they fancy themselves doing a wonderful job as they sit and watch, you know, their favorite news of choice all day long, or make sourdough starter or whatever. But some of the actions in and of themselves are terrific, but they're disconnected from the, you know, just I want to say the joy of life. The joie, it's like, yes, you think everybody's having fun? No one's having fun. This disruption has been, to put it mildly, profound.
No, but there are a couple of things I think one has to remember. And I had this feeling a couple of months ago when we were still in Miami Beach, and I was walking. We couldn't get to the beach because that was closed, but I was walking along a path and I saw the ocean, and I thought, you know, the tides are coming in and going out, and the birds are singing and laying eggs, and, you know, the dogs are having puppies, et cetera. And the natural world is still going on, even though we all feel that we're enclosed in a bubble of tension and anxiety. And I think it's really important to go outside and realize that, yes, the flowers come, the weeds come, you know, the fruit comes. You know, the point is there's a rhythm to the world that is not being disturbed at all because our own personal world is being so disturbed. And it really does give one a sense of balance that you get out of your little bubble and just look around and say, yeah, there is something out there. And every day that passes and we're alive and healthy is something that we should really be grateful for, and not just say, oh, got through another day. Now I don't have to worry about making supper until tomorrow.
Right.
I mean, we really have to take that kind of positive attitude. And I also think that simply getting some kind of physical activity is so critical. I mean, there is something about walking off or running off or jump roping off or biking off your tension, because your body is a repository of the tension. And if you don't use your muscles and warm them up and move, your tension is going to become unbearable. And people who sit on the couch and watch CNN or Fox News or what have you all day are going to find themselves much more stressed than somebody who puts on a pair of headphones and goes off and goes for a walk and listens to something funny, like The Thousand-Year-Old Man, which is, I think, one of the funniest audio things I've ever heard.
Right.
It gets your body and your mind in another plane altogether.
Or if you are sitting watching movies, then, you know, you've got to find some way to exercise. You know, you don't just have to be watching news. If you are consuming your screens and pretty much immobile, you've just got to find some way to move your body, because I know a lot of people don't have their trainers and so forth.
No, exactly. But the point is, our feet can walk, and we can climb stairs, and we can go and garden, and we can pull weeds, and we can tackle the messy garage or the attic or the cellar. You know, this is the time, finally, folks, that you've been putting off these tasks for about 25 years, and you hope you don't have to do them until you have to move out of your house. This is the time to go through all your old pictures and go through all your scrapbooks and go through all your correspondence. You know, if not now, when? This is the time to figure out what you're going to leave to your grandchildren who may not be born yet, not maybe for 20 years. But this is the time to do all those things that you've been putting off for most of your life. Figure out how you're going to get your teenager's junk out of your garage and do something with it. You know, this is totally distracting. I have a friend who's been going through her old photographs and letters from when her husband was in Vietnam and sent, you know, calling people that she hadn't spoken to for 25 years. In a funny way, we are given an opportunity of time that it can be used any way we want, because we don't have the distractions that usually fill up our life. And sometimes you can, you know, you really can have positive effects, like finally calling that third cousin who you met at somebody's wedding 25 years ago and you really meant to call. You know,
absolutely.
This is the time to do it. And having a conversation that's nothing to do with the virus, it really can be quite liberating in terms of releasing stress.
Quite right. Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wortman.
Okay.
Food
have
for
a
mood.
Good week, Jill. Bye-bye.
You too.
And that is Food for Mood with Judy Wortman. You can find it, of course, online at robinhoodradio.com. Click on the on-demand page and then click on Food for Mood.